Hey everybody, this is your host, Daisha. Just a note that May is Chamber Music Month, and so we decided to have an actual chamber music group onto the show for this episode. You'll be hearing members of the Modigliani Quartet. Thanks to Chamber Music Houston, we got to have these guys into the station, and they were great. Also, because producer Todd has outfitted the studio with a new flux capacitor, we were able to travel forward in time to bring the music from the following day's performance into the show. So effectively, when you hear these guys in this episode, they are talking about a performance which they had yet to play. Mind blown. Also, just a note that you can hear us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Whenever you listen to us, however you listen to us, make sure to rate and review us so that classical music and classical classroom can
rule the world!
Also, you can follow us on Twitter and Tumblr. Now for our show.
My name is Daisha Clay. I'm the audio librarian here at Classical 91.7. While I'm a real librarian, I have a deep, dark secret.
I know very little about classical music.
I grew up listening to rock, and I know something about jazz. But when it comes to classical, but I really want to learn. So, every week on this show, a classical music expert will give me a piece of classical music they think I should know, and then we'll discuss it. Come learn with me in the classical classroom. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Classical Classroom. I'm Daisha Clay, and here with me today are two members of the Modigliani Quartet. The quartet has been together for about 12 years, and they formed in Paris. They have five CDs out right now available for your listening pleasure. They've played all over the world, major halls, Carnegie Hall. They've played festivals everywhere to rave reviews, and they have paused here in Houston, thanks to Chamber Music Houston, to play a show at Rice University. Welcome to the program, Loic and Philippe.
Thank you.
I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves individually and tell me what instruments you play. Loic, you go first.
Okay. Well, I think because I'm not the first, actually. I am the second violin in the quartet.
Nice
to use. But actually, the first violin is Philippe, which is just...
So, okay. Yeah, you got the two violins.
Nice.
Today.
Okay. I like violinists. This will work out.
Yeah, anyway, you don't have a choice, right?
The other didn't show up. Well, so I know one of the pieces that you're going to be playing tonight is, and I'm going to botch the composer's name. It's Erno Donani's Quartet Number 3 in A minor. So I'm hoping that you can teach me about the composer and this piece, and can you start with how to say his name?
Of course. That's Dornani.
Okay.
And
we're not Hungarian people,
yeah,
so...
maybe it's absolutely not like this, you say it. And you were absolutely right, because he was also a conductor, actually, so...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and his grandson is a very famous conductor, actually, Christoph von Dornani. And he's conducts a very famous orchestra all around the world. But Erno, it's difficult for French people also to pronounce Hungarian name. Dornani was a very famous conductor, uh-huh, pianist, composer, and teacher too. He was living in Hungary, in Budapest, and he was very, very famous in the beginning of the 20th century in Hungary.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was born in 1877.
Yeah.
So extremely contemporary to Bartok, actually, which is more famous than him.
Yeah.
And he actually spent most of his life then in US, because he lived in New York for a very long time.
And in Florida.
Florida?
Yeah, for the weather. And I think he's more known in US than he is in France, even. Because he,
really?
Yeah, that's this kind of... people which, despite they had a wonderful career and a very complete career, didn't go through time and posterity. People don't really know and play him, while he really created very beautiful pieces, very wonderful pieces even. And that's actually why we put this kind of piece in our programs, because it's extremely rare to hear it.
Uh-huh.
Also, not so many recordings mm-hmm. from it. A few, especially American quartets, recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always for us very interesting, because most of our audience actually discovered the piece while we played. So it's a very nice thing for us and the audience at the same time.
Yeah, I had never heard the piece before I started preparing to talk to you guys. And
you prepared it?
I did. Believe it or not. So why, like, so he's lesser known. He's, and you kind of, you explained that he's sort of somebody that you want to show the audience because he doesn't get, his work doesn't see the light of day very much. What else do you particularly like about his work? Like, what about it appeals to you?
Well, I think there are very different influences in it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, his homeland, which was at that time Autriche-Hongrie, Austro-Hungary, I don't know how you say it. Mm-hmm. It was still when there was the empire of Austria-Hungarian
yeah.
empire. And so, of course, there are all those Eastern European culture influences which are very present in his music, but
mm-hmm.
also everything he met in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So all the jazz influences, the Black American music,
mm-hmm.
and that's for us a very interesting part of the repertoire, because it's not so present in the quartet repertoire. String quartet repertoire is very much from the very Germanic culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most of the big repertoire was created. You know, all those Haydn, Mozart, mm-hmm. Beethoven, Brahms, they were all from the same kind of place. So it's interesting. And also it's a music which is very nice for the audience to discover, because it's extremely easy on the ears. Do
mm-hmm.
you say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know we say easy on the eyes. But
I say that, yeah.
So if I did.
Louis, what about you? What do you like about it?
I like a lot this music, because we can feel transported in another time,
mm-hmm.
actually, between the two world war and in the spirit of the black and white movies. And for example, the first quartet we recorded, this quartet, was the Hollywood String Quartet, with
uh-huh.
musicians who were they were soloists in the studio orchestra in LA. And we can feel this old Belle Époque, we call that in France.
Yeah.
it's also, so we have beautiful tunes, beautiful melody, and also a very big dynamic, rhythmic dynamic,
mm-hmm.
all along the piece.
Yeah. Well, we should hear some of it. Should we just start at the beginning? Is there a particular point that you'd like to start at?
In the piece?
In the piece, yeah.
The second violin solo, please.
There is none.
There is one.
but that depends entirely on your choices. The three movements are very nice.
Why don't we just start at the beginning? We'll listen to a few minutes,
okay,
and you can kind of talk about what's going on.
Of course.
Okay.
That's extremely typical of that time and the Eastern European repertoire, this very strong start of the viola. Viola was never in the German repertoire the most important voice of the quartet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, about the themes I'm speaking, it's a very important voice of the quartet, but it was kind of never the one which was introducing the theme.
Huh.
And that's something which is going to happen a lot with those composers. Donani, Bartok, Smetana, Janacek, the viola starts to have a very strong importance with the introduction of the themes. And that's what you heard. Toyo.
Yeah.
That was the viola which brings it. So it's extremely typical of that time and that culture.
Thank you. It reminds me of music from an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, it's exactly
Concretely.
That. You really can put images on this music.
Uh-huh.
And that's also most of the work on this piece is related to this imagination. You have to find colors, imagine images, and also have a very strong rhythmical sense. Because you can imagine people playing it while looking at the movie, which goes, you know, which I don't know exactly how you do because we never did it.
Yeah.
But I know there is a, you know, a line and the image, they feel, I don't know the word in English, goes on, the movie goes on, and
yeah.
You have to play really exactly where you are supposed to. There is a, and you feel it in the rhythmical aspect, especially in the last movement, actually.
So it's kind of, how many movements are there in this piece?
Three.
There are three?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's going on, generally speaking, in the first movement?
It's an alternance with, I think, a very big part, rhythmical part,
mm-hmm.
and very long melody. And this quartet is dedicated to his wife, his beloved wife, so it's also a thing with... he was happy and at this time when he wrote this mm-hmm. piece... I think Donani was someone very optimistic, but we have to know that later in his life he will lose his two sons during the World War II, It won't be always that spirit. But in this piece, actually, he's very happy. He's coming in the United States. He was the king, the emperor of music in Hungary. For example, the composers, they were very proud of him. Also, mm-hmm. Bartók said, if music should be resumed in one word, it should be Dornani. Yeah, so it's very...
Music in Budapest,
yeah. Music in Budapest, yeah.
Beethoven would be jealous.
I think it's really funny that you say that he's happy. He was happy when he wrote this music because I was listening to it thinking, wow, this is really dark.
Sometimes it doesn't sound dark, it sounds more angry than
But definitely kind of like negative. It's very minor key. And
but, you know, some people express their happiness in different ways.
Well, let's move on to the second movement and talk about what's going on there.
This movement is a bit like a choral,
mm-hmm.
you know. Do you use that word too? Choral?
Yeah.
Yes. And it's indicated religioso, which means religiously.
Uh-huh.
And you really feel it because it's a very nice piece to play. It's the kind of the bass of the string quartet. Those four voices, which are really, you know, close to each other,
mm-hmm.
intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a variation movement. Mm. So this theme that you hear is going to be reused in different ways. It's always the challenge of this kind of movements. You have to express the same principal feeling in very different ways. So there is going to be the first variation is going to be. you see, you don't give me water and I stop coughing.
we don't give our guests water.
Of course, you want to get the best from them. And so you
it's
them
public
in
radio. That's what it is. We can't afford the water.
Really? It's like in France?
Yes.
Yeah, do you know there is a huge strike in France right now with public radio?
People, really?
Yeah. People are on strike for three weeks already.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, that's so back to Dornani. So there are going to be different variations. The first one is going to be it's the one you're just hearing now, where Donani plays with the rhythm. He uses again the viola with a very different rhythmical line than the three other instruments, mm-hmm. which make kind of a feeling of unbalanced rhythmically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is going to be a fast one, which is going to sound really happy, like
vivace.
Loic was saying. Then the next one is going to be...
Next one is mine. It's different because the second violin is completely outside the group, actually. Mm-hmm. He's getting upset and very angry. And the three others are like chords. And they play the first chorale, but like... with an implacable...
Very powerful. And then the next one is going to be a very soft theme of the viola, which might be also the place in this movement where he expresses his love for his wife. Extremely tender, extremely nothing harsh in there. And the end is the end of the loop. It's back to the beginning.
Okay.
And it's a closure with this beautiful religious theme.
Okay, so now we're going to enter the third movement.
Yes, absolutely not the same spirit. So that's where the spirit of the movies without words.
Yeah.
And where there were only music behind, that's extremely this type of music.
Yeah.
Very strong, very you know, fast and with a lot of characters, surprises, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a cartoon almost.
Is it fun to play? It sounds like
it's very fun.
Really fun.
It's very fun. It's the first contact with the work is fun, but also tough because it's technically quite difficult.
It sounds challenging
to put together.
Yeah.
But once you really know the piece, it's a lot of fun to play. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see all those rhythmical
and
rhythmical effects. Yeah. Yeah. Everything has to be really precise rhythmically because if not, you lose the main effect of this piece.
It's very dissonant and kind of all over the place.
Yeah, some people might think that it sounds a bit messy somehow, but I think it's also the effect. You know, when you see those cartoons, it's true. When you with those characters which are, you know, running in the desert and stuff, with someone else running after them.
Yeah.
You know, all kind of things happen extremely fast.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow also messy, you know, they are, I don't know, slapping each other and stuff, and you see the smoke of the sand and stuff. But it's actually very well organized as a piece. But it's made to create an effect a bit messy.
So he's dedicated this piece to his wife, and I just keep thinking, I'm sure I'm being too literal, but what is this saying about his relationship?
Yeah, I understand what you mean. But, you know, I think it's more complex than that. It's,
yeah.
It's not like a poem where
really,
you know, if you write 10 lines about your wife, of course you're not gonna speak about the messiness of your relationship. But I think in music, it's I think the principal theme, which is extremely tender and extremely optimistic, is about that. But then, you know, when you write a half an hour long piece, you have to find ideas and stuff. So you can't say, I love you for half an hour. You just have to really, you know.
Well, maybe that was indicative of their relationship, maybe.
Well, maybe she was a very active woman, you know. And
Well, maybe it was like tumultuous relationship. Maybe it was exciting. And,
yeah. I think we forgot what it was actually to go from Hungary to United States. Uh-huh. And we just arrived in U.S. yesterday.
Yeah,
and
yesterday.
We just have a 10-hour flight, but it's nothing compared to this time. It was completely, you had to leave all your stuff in your old country to go by boat to cross the ocean. That was completely, I don't know how many months or weeks. But it was completely different, and that was much more adventurous. And
it is now. And you arrive in a country, US, which was, you know, with all those industrial things which were extremely active in comparison with the old Europe at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's also a mix with his impressions of the country, of his life at that moment. It's not only about his relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and human relationships, you know, they take place in a place too. I'm sure this is, you know.
Yeah, and you know, maybe he was just also very happy about the piece.
Yeah.
And he dedicated it to the people to the person he loves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily
about her.
That it's a mirror of their relationship.
Yeah.
Et voilà.
That was so cool.
Yeah, it's a very cool and very, very fast, very exciting.
I like that. I like that a lot, actually. You know, he's actually, we have a really large CD library here at the radio station. And we literally didn't have any of Donani's work.
You didn't have
any? No, I couldn't find any in our library system. So
there are a few works which are more famous than those quartets. The Serenade, which is a chamber music trio. There is also the Variations for Piano, A Vous dirais-je Maman, which was created in New York also and which made him very famous at that time in New York. But yeah, it's not, you know, it's not the most famous composer.
Are you guys going to record this?
Yeah, we just finished recording a CD with the American Quartet of Dvorak, the Bartok number 2 and Dornani number 3.
Nice.
So, but it's not out yet. It's going to be the next one. It's going to be released at the
6th CD.
I think we made a bit more than that, actually. You said five in
at
the beginning.
I said five. That was what I found
online.
I think
it's like 6 or 7.
Okay. So why in your show tonight you're pairing this piece with Mozart and Shostakovich? Why pair those?
What we like is to try to have a very big difference between the aesthetic of the composer we present for a string quartet concert, because during all the concert you will have the same four guys, the same sound during all the night. So it's important, I think, to have very three different composer. And of course, the Mozart quartet sounds very different than the Dornani. You can tell me, maybe Shostakovich is closer than Dornani, which is a bit right, but because they have been composed almost in the same years. But Shostakovich was a Russian composer. And even Dornani, if he was from Middle Europe, he moved to America. And and the spirit are completely different, and the color of the sound are also different.
So it gives texture to the show. I see.
It allows people to discover, you know, also when they come to listen to an all evening of string quartet, it's basically not the most funny repertoire. The people which go to listen to chamber music, and especially string quartet, are people which like music and like the diversity of it and also know it quite well. So I think it's quite interesting to also sometimes offer them something they might not know.
Something unexpected.
Because, for example, the Mozart quartet, it's of course it's part of the big famous, and you can't get around it as a string quartet. You have to play. So the audience knows them also quite well. But when you bring a Dornani, it's also something new for them. And the Shostakovich is very interesting, because it's very not typical of the of what people expect from him, because he wrote 15 quartets. And the first one, the one we play, is actually the only one which is not like the other 14. It's the only one which is very bright and very optimistic. From then on, it's going to be a slow
downhill,
going down to hell.
Wow. Well, so tell me a little bit about the quartet. I know you guys were friends in Paris.
We were.
At least that's the story that you're selling online. That's I'm interested in the name. So Modigliani, the artist, was the guy who, during the early 21st century, or 20th century, sorry, painted this sort of elongated figures, and a lot of them had the sort of creepy blue eyes. So why choose that for a name?
Yeah, not exactly because of the creepy eyes and the long necks, but more about the fact that he has a very strong style of his own.
Yeah,
he was painting at a period, at a time where styles were changing extremely fast, because people were expecting, you know, they were asking painters, even the most famous one, to do some different stuff. And so, for example, if you see Picasso, which was maybe the most gifted painter of his time, you see how often he changed of style from one to the other. And Modigliani was living this very exciting phase with a very different approach of his art. He was actually really going through with his opinion of what was his style and his vision of painting. So it gave him a very strong personality. And if you see one Modigliani, if you see another one in, you know, 5 years later, you recognize it. While if you see Picasso from the Cubist time, then somebody is going to show you a Braque of the Cubist time, and you're going to be okay. I don't know anymore. And even people which are extremely not famous, there is something, you know. Well, and we thought as a string quartet, the main challenge is going to be to create our own sound.
Mm-hmm.
And to build a sound signature. And we thought, yeah, Modigliani did that extremely well with his own art. And it's mm-hmm. going to be a good, you know, good name for our quartet because of that.
Are you guys spending any time in Houston while you're here before you move on to the next city?
You mean, are we going to go to the Houston Museum of Fine Arts?
And see the Modigliani? Yeah, there's the in the sculpture garden. There's one of my favorite sculptures.
Yes, he started as a sculptor, actually. But he had some lungs problems, so he was getting sick because of the fine powder comes out. So he had to stop. And
no, but in Houston, we wanted to stay because tomorrow they will play the Houston Rockets versus Spurs from San Antonio.
Yeah.
And Tony Parker is a very famous French player. He's,
really?
But sadly, we're going to miss it because we're leaving for
Oklahoma.
A city nobody knows, which is called Tulsa.
Ah, Tulsa. Yes, I've heard of this place.
Yeah, everybody have heard of it, but nobody have actually been there.
That's true.
So we've never been there, so we are happy to discover the place. But sadly, we're going to miss the game.
Oh, that's too bad. Watch it on TV, I guess.
Yeah. That's not the same. You know it.
I know. Well, I was going to ask you guys what you thought of Houston and what you've done and all of this kind of stuff, but you just got here.
Yeah, we just got here and we didn't stay long. But you know, it's a nice place. We went out yesterday. We discovered that there were so many different beers around.
Much beer.
Yeah, it's very nice for us because we like beers. We like to discover them all around the world. So that was a part of our evening. We ate a very good burger. It seems to be also a good burger place.
That's what they say. Yeah.
And but regarding the city, you know, it's so wide and spread that it's. We were looking for kind of a historical center to walk mm-hmm. in, but actually, I don't think that there is.
There are
any.
Several centers.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, there's like the museum district, and then there's the downtown, which is actually built up a lot and kind of really nice now. But yeah, it's a very decentralized city.
But it seems a nice place to live. But it's a place we're gonna live in short time.
Sadly. Well, good luck with your show tonight.
Thank you.
And if you get to stay here in Houston for any longer, I hope you have a good time.
Thanks.
It was great of you guys to come in. Very nice to meet you. Luik, Philippe.
Yes.
Say your last names. I don't think we ever even said your last names because I'm scared too.
And I'm Philippe Bernard.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Eh ben voilà.
All right, everybody. That does it for this episode of Classical Classroom. For more Classroom, go to houstonpublicmedia.org/classroom. You can also find us on SoundCloud. Listen there or on iTunes or on your Stitcher or TuneIn mobile apps. Or you can listen to all of them at once for a totally Dadaist listening experience. Follow us on Twitter and Tumblr. We're hilarious. Email me at dclay@houstonpublicmedia.org. Thanks today to audio producer Todd T-Dog Holslander for twiddling knobs. Thanks to program director Sinjin Flynn for his close talking. Thanks to editor Mark DiClaudio for his piercing, unblinking, stare-stare booger bear eyes. Thanks to the Modiglianis, Philippe and Luik, whose last names I will not attempt to say because I will butcher them, for stopping by today. Thanks to me for saying words, but most of all, thanks to you for listening. We'll catch you next time. ¶¶